the readings which Holy Mother the Church presents to us for our edification. Today, on the one hand, they're a warning of that which we should not do and that which we should do. On the other hand, they're also a warning of what will happen to us if we are not faithful to our Lord Jesus Christ and to his mystical body on earth. Of course, in these days, the vast majority in the world, the vast majority in the church are not faithful. So we pray every day as we pray our usual prayers after the gospel and after the sermon. The prayer for the conversion of all, in particular the clergy and the hierarchy. There are many who are not obeying Christ, many who are not honoring Christ, and perhaps there are some among us. And so I reissue the warning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in the gospel, we have a continuation of the very same theme. Here we have one of those few instances in which our Lord demonstrates to all of us, to those who are around him, his humanity, because he is true God and true man. He is not just God, he is that indeed, from eternity, from the time of the incarnation at the womb of the most holy Immaculate Virgin Mary. He is also man. And so here he shows us that which he came to be for the sake of our salvation, in order to be able to suffer for us. And suffer indeed he did. And so perhaps you and I suffer. That is the way of the follower of Christ. We must suffer. But our Lord suffered, and his suffering is, because he is the God-man, is infinite, much more than yours and mine. It is infinite. So, the pain which our Lord felt in his soul, he had not yet been to the Passion. It is nearby, yes. This is the 19th chapter of St. Luke's Gospel. But he had not yet come to suffer physically, as we see on the altar in the crucifix, our Lord dying on the cross for our salvation with incredible pain of body as well as of soul, his human soul. His divinity cannot suffer. Thus he became man. But he came so that we could learn how to suffer from him. And what does he do? He goes near Jerusalem, and all of a sudden he starts to weep. What a magnificent demonstration of his humanity and of his holiness. That the Son of God, made the Son of Mary, wept. He is not weeping now, he is in heaven. There's no suffering, no tears in heaven. But all of that goes back to the agony in the garden, to the carrying of the cross, to the crucifixion and death. And he sees your and my sins, which caused him to suffer tremendously then. And the Blessed Mother standing at the foot of the cross with him. And so he suffers over Jerusalem, the forerunner of the church, because she did not know the time of the visitation, that is, the time that the Son of God came to her, to save her, to teach her, to redeem her. And how many of us are not in the same guise? We are not in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. we are now. And how many of us follow him completely and fully and wholly? How many of us love him to such an extent that we will suffer gladly for him? Instead, we go on our own ways and are following our own sins, as St. Paul also mentions in the epistle, with fornications of all kinds, with evil of all kinds, thinking that it's all right because he came to save us. It is not all right. He came to save us, yes, but we have to also join in the salvation that he has brought and wrought for us. And so he weeps, and those who love him weep. And he warns Jerusalem, his city. Jerusalem, the city of peace, the city where his temple is. He who is the Prince of Peace, the King of the universe. And he warns them that he will come back, and that the punishment that will happen when he comes back will be much greater than that which they received then. And of course, he's speaking about 70 AD, when Emperor Titus got sick and tired of the Jewish rabble and eliminated as many as possible. Only those who were members of the church were spared. Their bishop, the second bishop of Jerusalem, St. Simeon, brother of St. Jude and Mark and John, the evangelist, and the first bishop, St. James the Greater, Santiago de Compostela, slayer of the Moors. He did not come to bring peace to the world. He says that. Slayer of the Moors. And so St. Simeon was warned by an angel, take all the faithful out, we will show you where. And they went to an oasis. And not one Catholic was killed among the thousands and thousands that were killed. And then, when it was all over, he was called back. By that time, the Romans were happy to have somebody rebuild the city that they had destroyed in their anger, in their vengeance. Until it was time again. And Simeon, too, was martyred at the end of the first century, beginning of the second century. But our Lord warns them and us of all this. We are living 2,000 years later. Our Lord already has made his visitation to us. We have the faith. We have the church. We have the sacraments, beginning with the sacrament of baptism, the sacrament of penance, of confession, the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, which here takes place, and all the others. And yet, what do we do with them? If I had even just 50 cents, not a dollar, 50 cents, for every time somebody came to me and went to confession and begged for forgiveness and promised that they were not going to do it again, and then 5 minutes later they're doing it again, it's very sad. No wonder he wept. He weeps for you and for me. He weeps because you are not fully converted to him. He weeps because you betray him at every turn. Every time we sin, we betray him. We crucify him. And he weeps. for you and me. And so today, let us consider these things. Our Lord throws the bad servants, and of course he might have thrown us out too, because they or we have made his temple into a den of thieves. But we need to change. We need to convert. We need to follow him fully and accept that which he tells us fully. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For those who were here last week, I shared with you the situation at hand with myself, my health. And I went to the specialist Monday morning, and I got the worst possible news I could ever have gotten. Unfortunately, I'm stuck with you, and you're stuck with me. It is not cancer, and I would not have received any treatment for it, nothing, aspirin maybe. In fact, he said, "You look so young and so handsome." So, you know, at least once in a while you get a chance to, you know, brag about it. And then another doctor the next day said, "My feet were beautiful." That's the first time that was said to me, but anyway. So I guess I am. Anyway, God made me, the credit is his. So I will be condemned to be with you for another 10 or 20 years. And since I'm only 29, I can certainly make it. In the meantime, I'm trying to improve, and I'm getting treatment, some medicines, and some laryngeal massage, and also some other medicine that is very interesting. Anyway, I have to gargle with that 3 times a day, and the voice is slowly coming back. And hopefully I will be able to be my old self very soon. But anyway, I'm ready to go, and I was ready to go, but it's not God's, you know, will. Of course, I could just drop dead right now anyway, so that's fine too. I'm ready. I go to confession every week, do you? I sin once in a while, so I have something to say, you know, especially when I'm driving. But anyway, I'll be here as long as God wills for me to be here. I'm not going anywhere. And so I do ask you for your prayers that I may heal quickly. It doesn't hurt. And that's the thing. Everybody says, if it hurts, it doesn't hurt. It hurts me to hear it. You know, and I apologize that you have to hear my voice, which is right now not at its topmost, but it is coming back. So in the meantime, we give thanks to God for that gift. In addition, this week we had other news, very good news. Now my role in the life of another young man is almost done, not quite. He'll need a lot of prayers for a long time. But just as Brother Aaron, my beloved godson and friend, and now Brother Jake, my beloved godson and friend, he will be leaving us in just a few days. And when he first came here almost 4 years ago, I told him, the Blessed Mother told me, you are going to be a priest. And he said, no, 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 no. Well, a few months later, it was yes, 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 yes. And God has been leading him along. And I have been having to suffer for him all along and will continue. But anyway, soon he will enter the seminary in near Chicago, Our Lady of La Salette Priory, and he will begin the beginning of his very special vocation for which God has created him. The no, no becomes yes, yes. And I pray to God, if he wants to spare me, to allow me to live to see Brother Aaron's and Brother Jake's ordination to the priesthood, and then they may come here and celebrate with me a solemn High Mass. So I commend it to your prayers. He will leave after the Assumption, and of course next Sunday we will have a reception for him after Mass. And I remind you about both of them and anyone else that God raises up, and there are some. They're still saying no, but I know. The Blessed Mother doesn't lie to me. Anyway, that there are two things that every priest, remember priests too, canons too, seminarians need is prayer, lots and lots and lots of prayer, and money. So next Sunday there'll be a basket, fill it up. Be kind to the one that comes from our midst and will hopefully in about 7 years be ordained to the holy priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I give thanks to the Blessed Mother and to God. In the meantime, I need help. So I need your help. And I don't know whom the Blessed Mother will send. I've asked her to send me two or three, because I don't know if I can take that. But either way, she will send them, and she will take care of us, of you and me. And so I ask for your prayers as we continue. Interestingly, in the priory where he's going, one of our parishioners is there. He's a brother. I baptized him here in 1999. And he was named after my then secretary and best friend, Evie Jude John. His name is David Jude Szymborski. Some of you remember the Szymborski family. Now there are 10 children. There were 6 when they were here. And he is a brother in the society, and he has sent me announcements and so forth, so I've been kept up with that. So anyway, there will be another parishioner of St. Stephen there where he is. And not far from there is also the tomb of the one that should be already a saint, Venerable Fulton J. Sheen. So he will be praying for us. And of course, may God grant us his will and his wishes in whatever way he will. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.